Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 0.035% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75, 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly. They can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? March has never changed anything.
All right. Welcome to another installment of It's My House. And today's podcast is titled TSA and the Screwing of the Average Man, 2019. TSA and the Screwing of the Average Man, 2019. Live stream number 619-768-2945. And today we're on a road. We're on a road trip. Right now I'm in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I brought my laptop with me because I typically do this podcast with a laptop and a phone, but the signal is kind of weak where I'm at, so I got to do everything by a phone. And anyway, we got to work with what we got. All right, so today's podcast is titled TSA and the Screwing of the Average Man. Now, I was supposed to be here, today's Monday. I was supposed to be here Saturday, and then by this time, which is Monday, I was supposed to already have been in Taft, Oklahoma. I'm in Tulsa, Oklahoma right now. But Saturday, I was on my way to the airport, And I got a text message from my airline carrier that my flight was canceled. So I went back to the house. Good thing I wasn't all the way at the airport, because it takes about an hour to get to the airport. So got back to the house, and then called the contacted the airline to rebook the ticket, and then just asked after I finished rebooking for yesterday, what happened, and all of the, customer service rep said it was a security issue. So then I thought about it for a few minutes, and I said, well, let me go online and put in Orlando Airport. Put that in the search engine, and it came back that a TSA, Transportation Safety Administration worker, employee, had jumped to his death at the airport. And where he did it, I mean, everybody's, the Hyatt has a hotel in the primary atrium at that airport. I mean, you can't miss it. And typically, when I come out here or any road trip by air, I go to the airport like it was a morning flight. I typically come here like 8 to 12 hours ahead of the flight. And, so I don't have to deal with rush hour, don't have to deal with backlogs of traffic. There's no rushing. I come in, and I'm not alone. Typically, a lot of people sleep at this airport, either going or coming. So I typically do it going. But this time, I booked an afternoon flight. All right. So I didn't have to come early, as usual, and sleep at the airport. So I'm glad this time I didn't come early and slept at the airport, because it was a madhouse there. Anyway, so I flew out yesterday, and It took three flights to get here. Let's see, Orlando to San Antonio. San Antonio to Houston. Houston to Tulsa. And I'm still not recovered. So anyway. To TSA and the scoring of the average man 2019. So, nobody knows why this guy jumped. I mean, I don't know. I didn't know him. I understand this guy was in his 40s. So here's a guy in his 40s. I do not know his backstory, background, nothing like that. And apparently he had committed suicide after he worked his shift. He did his 8 hours or whatever, clocked out. And then really clocked out. So I'm trying to think, here's a guy in his 40s, midlife. Got a government job. A lot of people want their government jobs. Even with the government shutdown, partial shutdown, I'm sure he probably got the back paycheck by, before he passed. Or it was coming real soon. But probably got it, I don't know. And he's working in Orlando, man. So you got TSA workers working in Buffalo, New York, that wish they had a gig in Orlando just due to the weather, because the weather up in Buffalo can be brutal. But anyway, like I said, I don't know his backstory or nothing like that. So this is for some. So I'm beginning to think. This is a book I read several years ago called The Screwing of the Average Man by David Hapgood. And like I say, this guy worked, because during the whole TSA thing, you heard about people that they were Some have to get second jobs or what have you. So we want to take a look today. Is the average modern man in the Western world that works for 8 hours a day, is the average man getting screwed, ripped off, which can cause depression, which could trigger a suicide? We're going to take a look at it, today. We're going to play an audio here. I've played a gazillion times as the fundamental backdrop of asking the question, is the average man in Western society, particularly here in the United States and Canada, are they getting screwed on that 9 to 5? And if I can get this to play, and it's not cooperating with me. All right. Well, we're going to have to improvise here. All right, let's. Man. All right. Well, let's hold. Let's go to another screen and see if we can do it that way. All right, let's. All right. Hold on a minute, folks. I had to go to another screen here. What we want to do is take a look at, like I say, we've been told to go to school. If you can, get good grades. Why get good grades? So you can get into a good college. Why are they getting into a good college? So you can get a degree to get a good job, so you can get the American dream, which is a house and a car and all this other stuff. So we're going to take, and even if you didn't go to college, that's okay. We're going to take a look at the average 9 to 5er is doing and see if they're getting ripped off. All right. I think we got, hopefully this will play. Let's play this 9 frames. And that's not playing either. All right, doggone it. All right, well, let's see. Trying to get this, yeah. When you're doing things remotely. Okay. I can't get any of that stuff to play. All right. All right. Let's get our pens and papers out, or whatever you want to write with. And okay, my board's kind of haywire. You like Sam? I'm not in my usual location, and all right. So let's say you want to get a house. And let's say the house is not a tiny house, but whatever a regular size house is, the average size house in the United States. Let's put it at, that's kind of big. Let's put it at 1,000 square feet, 1,200 square feet. All right. And you're going to pay $100,000. The purchase price tag on a house is $100,000. Okay. Oh, man. You know what? I got to see if I can get this audio up because it's so important. All right. So let's say you're a TSA worker. You want to own your own home, and you found a 1,500 square foot house for $100,000. okay, now you've got to get the down payment and all that together. But you accomplished the first step. You've got the job with the TSA. Now, I'm using the TSA as representative of the American worker. Okay. Of the American worker. Now, let's see if I can get this audio to play. I still can't get it.
What's up, fam? I'm about to make me a quick Rez the Ruler video. Remember the video I made about the Mexican house next door and how they got it together? And one day, I cleared this with them. But check this out. When you put the energy out of the universe, it agrees with you. Remember I told you put those disagreeable forces, the disagreeable forces will respond. Now I'm going next door, and I needed to cook some macaroni for my Christmas gathering. Now I got one kitchen, and it ain't big enough. Watch this. This is my...
Say some shit to y'all that I seen yesterday that made me smile, but it hurt me to my heart. There's a house next door to me that's been abandoned, and the yard, the grass high as hell and everything. There's a couple of abandoned cars out there beside the house. Well, yesterday I get off work about 7 o'clock. A Mexican guy pulled up. He said, "These your cars?" I said, "No." He said, "I just bought this house, man." I said, "All right, that's what's up." He was like, "You know whose cars these is?" He said, "No." He said, "Well, I bought the house, not the cars." Okay, I'm like, cool. I'm thinking he's just coming to look at the house. I go back in the house, do a little straighten up. I swear to God, I walk back out the house. Now, I'm getting off about 7:20. It's fucking 9 Mexican trucks just pull up. They got fucking beer, lights, and shit, right? So I'm like, what y'all finna do? He said, "We finna fix this house." I said, "What kind of crew you got working after 7 o'clock? He said, "These my friends." The fucking house is fixed this morning. They went in there and drywalled that fucking house. Wow. I just left out of there. It was a fucking abandoned house. That bitch looked new this morning. Woo. It was an abandoned fucking house, and it looked new this morning. It's an old African proverb: many hands make light work. I just don't think they're better than us. I just think we won't do nothing together. Wow. You're not hearing what the fuck I'm saying. It was an abandoned house yesterday at 7:15. That bitch is new this morning. He bought a tax lien house. I can't wait to see what they do. I can't wait to see, is one family gonna live in there? Is they gonna, I'm gonna get to know the motherfuckers. You best believe me, when I make some money, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna bring us together. And I'm not fucking with a lot of people.
All right. Now that we need to play that to set this podcast up today, which is titled, actually there are two titles to today's podcast. Man, I'm improvising. I'm in this hotel room, and the internet service is not on par. I'm not seeing that no Motel 6 now. Not today. You're going to drop 100 or so here. But anyway, today's podcast has got two titles: TSA and the Destroying of the Average Man. And the original title for today's podcast is Neocolonialism Morphed into Government. So that's a combined two titles I'll attempt to make you'll see the method of my madness for this podcast today. Anyway, so let's say, all right, the TSA worker that committed suicide, his 9-to-5, the reason why he was at that job, let's say that's for the purpose of this context of this podcast, is representative of the average American 9-to-5 worker. All right, he got a government job, which is, in air quotes, supposed to be secure. He's going to get his paychecks on the regular. For the most part, they do. And they've got benefits. And with that, now, you know, he's got a so-called, in air quotes, good job. All right? I want you to take a look at, think about, let's put one of the questions I'm putting out here. Is it better to have a 9-to-5 job, or is it better to have 9 friends? Once again, the question of the day is it better to have a 9-to-5 job, so-called good job, whatever that might be, whatever you define it to be, or is it better to have 9 friends? That's the question of the day. Now, when you're, and once again, this TSA worker is representative of the American worker, actually Western worker. You can be in Canada, you can be in Mexico, you can be in somewhere in Europe, you can be in England, you know, you're on the 9-to-5. You're doing your 8 hours a day. You're working. Now, the commonality that this TSA worker had, that the workers that work for the TSA, that the commonality that all 9-to-5ers have is they're working for money. Now, let's look at that word money specifically, because you can define money different ways. There are many distinctions of money. Specifically, in this case, you're working for government-issued legal tender. In this, in the United States, it would be called United States dollars. If you got a 9-to-5 over in England, you're working for pounds. But that's those are pieces of paper which cost about 6 cents to make. But you're working for paper that costs about 6 cents to make, but it's got, but the government has put a value of it of $1, $5, 8 euro, I mean 10 euro, 20 euro, 100 pounds, what have you. So you're working for this government, once again, government-issued legal tender that we call money. All right? Now, why do you need the money? Well, you want to buy a house. Maybe not all of you, but on a critical mass basis, a lot of people want to buy a house. Real estate, to be more specific. Most people use the term real estate, something that is going to be taxed by the local government, and at least in the United States, and if you don't pay the taxes, the government will take that house away from you. So it really wasn't your house anyway, now was it? All right. So you're working for government legal tender. You're working for government money, which is a form of food stamps. You're working to get that house. Or excuse me, real estate, because there's a distinction between the house and the real estate are two different things. Which, if you don't pay the taxes, they'll take that from you. All right? Now, so you found this house, you got this job with the TSA or UPS or McDonald's, whatever Western job you want. And you have He found his 1,500-square-foot house. It cost $100,000. Now, next, you've got to work the 9-to-5, okay, because you're going to need a down payment. Now, the down payment, I'm using simplified stuff here this morning. The down payment on $100,000 if you're going to get a bank loan. Well, first thing, hold on, we got to go to the man's paycheck. Let's say, I don't know what TSA workers, but let's say that the minimum wage is $20 an hour. I know it isn't, I know that's not the average, but some people are trying to get it up to that. So, let's take $100,000 and you're earning $20 an hour. So you'd have to work 5,000 hours minimum to come up with that kind of cash. But at the same time, you got living expenses that you have to take care of right now. You got to eat, you got clothes, you might have kids, you know, rent to pay and all that. All right, so you really can't say that whole $20 an hour right now, $4,000 to $5,000. I mean, matter of fact, 5,000 hours, and then 24 hours in a day. So you'd have to work 208 days nonstop to earn that kind of money. Well, we're humans for the most part. So I don't know any superhumans. Even Superman takes a bit, you know, has his rest days. So more than likely, the average person is going to go to a bank. And if you go to the typical bank, you know, that does mortgages, well, they say, look, if you put 20% down, that's in this case, $20,000, we'll put up 80%. That's provided you got the decent credit and all this other stuff. So we'll put $20,000 down. I mean, you put $20,000 down, you put $20,000 of your skin in the game, of your United States dollars, which you're working for, okay, then we'll put up $80,000. Now, I want you to keep the questions I have in the background, sort of in the forefront. Is it better to have a 9-to-5 or is it better to have 9 friends? So you got your job at the TSA or what have you, and you're getting $20 an hour. Now, you need to save up $20,000. That might be daunting to some people. So you think, well, you know what, where else can I go? Who else can I borrow money from or get a guarantee where I don't need $20,000? Because you might not even have $2,000 saved up. All right. So you hear about FHA, Federal Housing Authority, HUD, and they've got various programs there. So if you're an owner-occupant, you know, they got a program where you can put 3% down. That's $3,000. All right? That sounds, you know, that's more in your budget. All right? If you come up with $3,000, you don't have $3,000 right now. You might have $1,000 right now. So you got to work to earn that $2,000 more, and then you got your $3,000 down. We haven't even talked about closing costs yet. But your $3,000 down, and then the bank will loan you the balance of $97,000, and you don't have to pay it back for 30 whole years. Doesn't that sound good? Isn't God good? Thank you, Jesus. Well, anyway, okay, what did I remember? Is it better to have a 9-to-5 or 9 friends? So, all right, you arrange to get the, you know what, and the lending institution says, you know what, you're such a good potential, I mean, customer. We're going to not only loan you the 97% that you need. We're going to loan you a little extra money so you can pay closing costs. So all you need is that $3,000 down out of your pocket. You know, the closing costs and the points and all, we're going to finance that because we like you. All right. So anyway, you got your little TSA job, which you call secure. Get your paycheck every 2 weeks, got your benefits. And you got this 30-year loan. I mean, 30-year loan. Now, more than likely, if you live long enough, if you live 30 years to pay that off, you're going to pay anywhere from 2 to 4 times what you originally thought you were buying the house for, which was $100,000. And you've got to work. Matter of fact, well, let's look at it. 40 hours a week times 52 weeks out of a year, that's 2,080 hours times 30. So if you live long enough and you actually do pay off that loan, you would have put in 62,400 hours. That's what 30 years is. Working. For that funky little $20,000 an hour. Is it better to have that? And remember, the part of the podcast title of the day is The Screwing of the Average Man. It's a book written by a guy named David Hapgood. I highly recommend you purchase the book. Now, the reason why I played the Nine Friends audio is I want to relate it to a group of people, and you don't have to be one of them to do what they did to do. On a regular. The Amish people, Amish Mennonite people, a lot of their children go from the parents' house to their own house and they never have a mortgage. They get together with nine friends or nine relatives or a combination of nine friends and nine relatives. Whatever you call it, it's nine people that they've got social capital with. Just like in that Nine Friends video, I mean audio, where you heard about the nine Mexicans. Look, it could be nine white people, nine black people, nine Asian people, nine purple people, nine whatever people that you want, nine aliens. As the guy says in the audio, many friends make light work. So, is it better to, seriously, go to grades 1 through 12 and get a job to try to save $3,000 to get into a loan that hopefully you'll work over 64,000 hours to pay off 30 years later if you happen to live long enough? Or is it better to have nine friends and get it done within 30 days or less? In the Amish circles of education, they do the nine friends arithmetic. They don't get the, matter of fact, traditional Amish go to schools grades 1 through 8. Mainstream gets to go 1 through 12, and then if, you know, go to either a trade school or, you know, the academic route in college. Nothing wrong with these. These are all choices that people can make now. I went the academic route, and if I had to do it all over again, I'd go the non-friends route. And then part of my non-friends would be in the building trades. You know, who can build a fence? Who can, let you know, hang drywall? Who's a roofer in my crowd? But you can still do that now, regardless of age.
Okay.
So that's the question I have for you today. Is it better? Because essentially, if you're going the route that we've been taught in mainstream education, you're essentially on the plantation. You're working for dollars instead of working for a house. The average person listening to this podcast that has a 30-year mortgage on a house, you're working for the illusion almost. You're working for $64,000 to pay off that house. If that's not slavery, I don't know what is. I'd rather have the nine friends. I'd rather go to nine happy hours, nine house parties, nine frat parties. I'd rather become a social butterfly and do volunteer work, because that generates a lot of karma that'll come back from unexpected places. I'd rather do the nine friends education then, and mind you, I've got a degree. But it took a long time to figure this out. But that's crazy LA. Doing a podcast from a hotel room right here. So, would you rather, once again, and you might not believe that you're getting screwed. That's why I recommend read the book, The Screwing of an Average Man. Tomorrow when we're in another location, and we'll have video, maybe not tomorrow, but I'm going to take video tomorrow, because when we get to TAF, we're going to show you, because, you know, we're going to open up a school. That's why I'm here. We got to build it. So I'm going to show you the location. We're going to do some videos of that. There's another project that I want to announce it via video so you can actually see it. So we'll be here all week. Actually implementing the stuff that we talked about on these podcasts for the last couple of years. All right, so I wasn't able to get out it's February now, for about a year. Because, I'm looking at a relative who's sick, bedridden. So it was just, man, this trip was probably planned 100 times and the ticket was changed 100 times minimum. Because something always came up, including what happened Saturday. I was supposed to be here Saturday, didn't get here till last night. Anyway, but it's Monday, I'm here now. So I'll be here all week. And we'll be doing videos so you can see what we've done, what we got in the works, and that type of thing. Anyway, so back to the question, and we'll be looking at it all week, neocolonialism morphed into government, merged into the topic of the screwing of average man 2019. And the question is it better to have nine friends? Because I'd rather have nine friends to help me build my house where I don't have a mortgage. Because most of the people that you see in rush hour traffic here are the commonalities that they have. You know, they're in that rush hour, backed up, road rage, because they got to pay rent or mortgage. They get the roof over their head. They got to eat. And, of course, more than likely, they're driving vehicles and they got a car note on them. Those are the three guaranteed things I see in rush hour. Those are the three guaranteed things I see in this TSA worker who committed suicide Saturday at the Orlando airport, all his co-workers, and which is representative of the Western worker who is working 9 to 5. Give me 9 friends that will put me in a position. I like tiny houses. So I can get, this is one of the reasons why I'm here in Tampa, to set up a school to teach you how to get, if you are asked out, how within 24 to 40 hours, how you won't get ass out, but you got to have those 9 friends first. So from anywhere from a weekend to, let's say, 30 days, depending on the circumstances, not everybody likes to go. Most people don't like tight. I get that. Most people, you need 1,000. Some people, you need 2,000. Some people need a 4,000 square foot. Whatever it is, we'll be teaching you the fundamental basics on how to build it, including how to get 9 friends. Now, when you're getting your 9 friends, that's your currency. That's your currency. See, one of the things about capitalism, particularly with government-issued legal tender, a lot of people place more emphasis on the legal tender or materialism over people. They think if they got $1 million or $1 billion, they can say, you know, basically, fuck you to people. And that's why you have people in the social services office, a lot of people in the social services office, not all of them, but many of them, basically have burnt social relationships down to the ground. Fuck you, mom. Fuck you, dad. Fuck you, sis, bro. Fuck you, friends. I got my EBT card. I don't need you. Fuck you. That's why you can't even go to their house to sleep on the couch. You can't sleep in their garage. You can't sleep in their backyard without a tent, because you have burnt those relationships to the ground because you value the EBT card. You value the Section 8 certificate. You value the United States dollar, the euro, the British pound, the Mexican peso. You value all these material things more than you do people. And in return, you're going to work 64,000 hours. And a lot of people working for those 64,000 hours under stress, bad diet, you don't live long enough to pay that off. Once again, everybody's different. I'd rather go to 9 friends route. 619-768-2945. I got to check out again like in an hour and 45 minutes. So I'm going to be on here no more than maybe 30 minutes at the max. If you want to chime in, 619-768-2945. I'm doing this podcast with my phone today because we got kind of a weak signal where I'm at. And hopefully tomorrow I'll be in another location where we'll have a strong signal where I can do the podcast through my, laptop. So anyway, let me find the studio again because I'm on a phone right now. And, okay. I'm back on the phone. All right, so, and I don't know if anybody's got their hands up. So anyway, oh, we got a hand up. Thing is moving kind of slow. All right, the three, I'm trying to open up your mic, 314.
Wait a minute. I'm just,
Wait a minute. My board is going crazy. Okay, 314, I believe your mic is open. Area code.
Yeah, what's going on?
I'm up here. I'm on this phone, and it's not the phone. It's just the signal isn't as strong as it used to. I'm in a different location today.
Well, I was listening to your conversation.
And more of a rant.
And yeah. No, but college education is good, especially when you go in for the tougher courses, because it gives you the skills that you need when you go into those professions where it's necessary. Hey, I've been running across companies that's looking for people with these degrees, especially those that can do applied math, plane geometry. One company is called Libra, who specialize in cranes. There's an African-American group out there in Oakland, California. It's ran by Matthew Graves, called Oakland Youth First. They bring in young African-American kids and take them through that process of, you know, seeing what they can do and what they like in the areas of aviation and maritime. And a lot of these maritime training, some of these jobs pay up to $70,000 for only 8 months a year of work. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Oh, yeah. And in aviation in the United States, you got pilots that's retiring because they have to retire at a certain age. But 5 years of service, you can retire with full benefits. And they predict, of course, this was a couple of years ago, that there's going to be over 400,000 shortages in pilots in the commercial realm, not even including military. Then you look at the Black Pilots Association that's working with young African Americans, helping them obtain their pilot's license. And there's one, maybe more than that, Black Airlines that's sprung up here in the country. I'd have to look at the name of it. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Well, let me ask you this then. Let me rephrase the question. Okay, because you need some kind of way, and everybody can't work at McDonald's or be a TSA worker. It's not what you, I guess, how you manage that money that you get being whatever profession, so you won't have to work those 30 years.
Well, if you worked at 35 years, you can get full retirement in what I mentioned.
Okay.
But 35 years ago, so you have to have at least, to get full Social Security, you need to have, what, 33 years worth of quarters, like 33 quarters or something like that. I mean, I forget.
Well, what's
full
our,
Social
you know,
Security
what
is about $3,300 a month.
We need to do a podcast on this specifically, man. Because, see, now you've got, and I guess they've always been around, but today you call them digital nomads. So you got a lot of digital nomads where what's important to them is not so much money. It's freedom, time to do, to spend time with friends, family, and to travel. So you've got, matter of fact, I got an ex-brother-in-law. I didn't know it. I know how he does it now. But when I first met him, I mean, this man, fact, even before I met him, this guy,
mm-hmm.
he was a welder. I don't know what welders were making, but, you know, he wasn't, you know.
Well, this company I was telling you about that makes cranes, Lieber, they looking
mm-hmm.
for welders, too.
Yeah, but he,
mm-hmm.
he basically, he would get a little money, and then, you know, this guy would be, I mean, he was a global traveler. So now you got a bunch of people that, you know, you see on YouTube that they make money teaching. They make money, make all kind of ways, doing volunteer work. A lot of them are called, they call themselves digital nomads. So they're not really, really concerned about that, you know, getting a pension. And then you got some, like there's this guy, Bo Ricks. I'm going to try to get him on his podcast. He and his lady, they're United States citizens, both black, but they essentially live in the Dominican Republic. And essentially, they've got a video where their retirement basically comes from rental properties. They'll get a rental property, and they'll start off, and they'll live in one side, rent out the other one, and that'll pay off the mortgage, and then they just keep that. That's what they, that's how they're able to survive in the Dominican
yeah,
Republic.
Yeah, but L.A., how many people can do that? Take the
I
society of that.
Now, wait. How many people
take
will
the,
do it? Not many.
Take this National Society of Black Engineers. It has like 30,000 young kids, young people that's involved in it. About 20,000 active. They're not going to do that. They coming out of high school. And I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with for those who want to do it. Hell, I built my first house, 4,000 square foot. But
so
I don't live
right.
in it.
Most people,
because I don't need no damn 4,000 square feet.
Right. Most people, well, yeah, first thing, most people ain't going to live in a 4,000 square foot house. That's a big ass house. But you're right. Most people are not going to, you're right. Most people are not going to do that.
I'm working with a person that Kingsway Development Group. They're setting the maximum size houses for that development at like 1,200 square feet. And maximum price is $160,000 because they're trying to, you know, be open to attract a certain demographic. But whites are going to be the one that move in it because it's north of the Barnes Jewish Hospital complex, north
mm-hmm.
of the Central West End. The Central West End, they putting up 15-20 story living spaces left and right. That little area could outvote the entire city if it got down to that. But the thing is, most people are not going to do that. Most kids, young people, are getting prepared for these professions and careers that's being offered. And it's just by working in those careers how people can gain the skills to come out and work. Just think if you work in one of these aviation positions as a controller, they only let controllers work up until they're 35 years old. Then they retire you. Aircraft, airport controller. Hey,
okay.
You can come out
right.
and do something else. Hmm?
Yeah, I've known people, matter of fact, I got a neighbor. He came out of school like, he's got like two retirement checks.
Right.
You know, did his 20 years, then did something else, and did another 20 years and something else. Like, well, they're different type of strategy. Yeah, they're different cookie cutters. You're right. They're different cookie cutters.
And these jobs are going unfulfilled.
What
you know, the thing that gets me, I'm going to tell you something. I was reading in a local paper here, the St. Louis American, where they had a sit-in for the homeless, protesting about the homeless. And I don't know, it might be that lady and man that calls here from time to time. I think it is. They had a little group. Well, hell, the mayor told them that not only do you have churches, and I guess you have enough, but they also take some private spaces and turn them into bed space for those on those nights when the temperature is extremely, you know, cold. But heck, what is going on in order to get people out of that position And then what about those that want to be in that position? I mean, they just don't want to get into, you know, you talk about getting off the grid. You have people who have the mindset, they just want to get off of everything.
Right. And most people.
So is that not the decision that they make? Is that not the decision that they make?
True. Yeah, most people, they're not going to get off the grid. I already know that.
So you telling me that we supposed to take a precious resource and apply it to people who don't want to get off of everything and take it away from those young people who's coming from disadvantaged situations and don't have the necessary resource. Then again, the next argument. You know, I like to listen to these folks that have these specific arguments and wonder, do they understand that this is the old cause and effect? Well, hell, if your schools was cool, if your schools was doing producing the right thing, then a lot of these effects that's experienced in later life would not be there. All right, well, look at all the, when you talk about schools, they come up with the same old song. Teachers need more money. You
right.
need the classroom. Well, hell, you've been throwing money at this problem forever. I believe there's some kids that's just not teachable. All right, if that is the case, then let parents go where they want to go with their child. You cannot blame, that is the ultimate blame that you can put on a adult or parent, is this. You got the funds, you got the resources to put your child where you think is best for them. And that's getting away from you being locked in places that's against your will. Now, if you are not producing what you should produce and then you have the ultimate authority, then the onus is on you.
Right.
Maybe the child needs to be taken away from the parent. So give them parents full choice where they can choose the education environment they want and let the money follow the child. And that would help alleviate some of the concerns on the far end where there's not enough skilled and trained people to fill these positions. How can America ever be great if the people ain't great? And I tell you another thing. I hear folks always talk, black people always talking about Africa. About I'm African and all this, that, and all the other mess. Africa wouldn't be in the shape that it's in entirely if black Americans were at the level that they supposed to be at. I mean, think about it. You don't got so many opportunities exist over there. Hey, you got people coming out of China, Lebanon, and other places that's taking advantage of it. And they are doing the same thing that you see that goes on within your inner city commerce. They send their profits back home. Well, where is African Americans at? Why come they not in the areas that you see these other groups are in? Those that talk about Africa all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, if you are dead last in the academic measurements here in the United States, then how can you provide and help with the development that's needed over there? They got one of the major resources that any country must have in order to further its development, and that's young labor. But the labor is not educated. You know, I tell you about, remember I was telling you about how in China that engineering is tantamount to a high school equivalent here, high school diploma?
Uh-huh.
Well, if you got that type of workforce, if you got that type of demographic in Africa, then where is the educating process to put those young people, that demographic workforce, on the same academic level as general labor is in China?
Mm. Right.
And here's another thing. Where is it here in the United States amongst black kids? There's nothing keeping a local community from having whatever educational plan they want in their school district. It should not be left up to teachers' unions. It should not be left up to the administration. Administration works for you. That's another point. These civil societies, these civil groups, do not live up to their accountability. What should I say? Their civil responsibility to hold these employees of these agencies, whether it's the school district, whether it's the police department, whether it's city hall, whether it's public, you are not holding them accountable. Therefore, they do whatever the hell they want to. Because police are not going to police the police. School districts are not going to monitor, or should I say, hold themselves accountable. And I'm talking about this in this meeting. Teacher, you got 15 students in here and only two passed the math test. Well, let's make this a little bit bigger. Baltimore School District, you had like 3,000, over 3,000 high schoolers take the state math test and only 14 passed. Did you hear that?
Yep, that's low.
That's only low. 14 pass out of 3,000 high schools coming out of 12th grade, only 14 pass. California, in your unified school district, you got 75% of your black male population can't read at level. So people have to hold those agencies, those concerns accountable. So if you ain't got people that can read, if you don't have people that can do math, and if you can't read, you surely can't write, because you can't put your, you can't attain the thoughts in your head that you would need to transcribe to your handwriting in order to make sense on that level. So where are you going to go? I mean, think about it. And if this was not a problem, why is the conversation continue to go on just about in every circle, just about in every radio show you tune in on? The same old damn hung out, ringed out, and drug around conversation.
Right. You're right.
And white folks ain't got jack to do with this. These black school districts, city of St. Louis public school districts, ain't no white folks controlling that. They left it to black. Jennings, blacks control it. Berkeley is no more. Ferguson, Florissant, blacks control it. Normally, blacks control it.
I agree. We have a lot of control that we're not taking responsibility for. And
Black Powers Association. Black Powers Association up there in Kansas City is looking for young people, and they have the equipment. Boeing Aircraft will give you whatever you need. General Dynamics will give you whatever you need. There in Hempstead, Texas, they got a black female, a black rodeo association.
And you know, I'm
a
in
black
the neck
rodeo
of the woods. There's a black rodeo, there's a black town that I'm going to try to get to while I'm here. That they're known for having the best black rodeo in the United States.
Yes, and look at in the competition in rodeo at the level that they have those shows. Wonder who's taking all the prize money. You're talking about big prize money.
Right.
Where's the black kids in golf?
You know what? While I'm here, I'm going to put out the contact to the guy today. Rennettsville, Oklahoma. I think that's the town. They have the largest black rodeo in the United States.
Well, I've seen some YouTube clips on this one black rodeo, this one black family. Well, it's an organization, association, I guess you can say it. These women, these black women. That's, if I'm gonna be rolled by a woman, then the kind horses got, you know, I'm jealous of horses. At least them horses.
Yeah. Well, Bianca, I gotta check out of here like an hour, or so I'm gonna shut it down for the day. And this studio here.
And I don't know what the problem was with that guy that committed suicide. You know, ain't no telling. Might have some problems at the house. You know, they had one. And you know, things happen like that. I've heard of pilots. We had a news meteorologist that flew his plane into the ground right outside of St. Louis. Dave Murray, I think, is what, but I'm not sure if that's his name. It was. You had a commercial pilot for Egypt Air flew the plane into the ground as it after it completed its international flight, and flew it in the ground over there at Egypt, killed up a whole bunch of hundreds of people.
Absolutely, this guy probably had something going on.
Yeah,
home or
might have been. Well, it's the same thing when workers go back to the job and shoot up the job, or they go out to a soccer field and shoot up the wife and the kids. So you don't know what's going on. Anyway, I'll let you go ahead and do what you got to do.
Yeah, I'm in for the day because this studio's cracking up. But anyway, tomorrow I'll be in a different location. Hopefully, have some video up on YouTube. All right, everyone, have a good rest of the day. If this thing will shut down.